Tonight, the major ruling from the Supreme Court on Obamacare. The court rejecting a major challenge to the law protecting Obamacare. 31 million Americans get their insurance this way. It protects some 54 million with pre-existing conditions. So what does this mean going forward? After Republicans have tried to take down Obamacare for more than a decade, was this the last stand? Terry Moran tonight with a reality check. He's at the Supreme Court. Also tonight, the coronavirus and the new warnings about the Delta variant in the U.S. now seen in at least 41 states. Highly transmissible, could it become the dominant variant here? Also, the emergency meeting tomorrow after some 300 cases of a heart condition in young people who were vaccinated. Myocarditis, a very small number out of the millions vaccinated. But what you need to know on that and on this fast-moving variant. Dr. Jha standing by tonight. Parts of the U.S. bracing tonight. A tropical storm warning now issued, up to a foot of rain and wind across several states. And tonight, the record heat expanding right into the middle of this country. Tens of millions now seeing temperatures above 100 for several days, and it's just the middle of June. Rob Marciano standing by. Overseas tonight, first the summit with President Biden and Vladimir Putin. Now our Martha Raddatz traveling to Iran tonight on the eve of the presidential election there. What's at stake when it comes to reviving any nuclear deal with Iran? Martha reporting from Tehran tonight. Here at home, news tonight about the armed couple who waved their guns at protesters outside their St. Louis home. That couple now pleading guilty. The landmark moment in American history today. President Biden making Juneteenth a new federal holiday. June 19, 1865, the day the last African-American slaves were freed in Texas following the Civil War. And today, the moment, the president kneeling before 94-year-old Opal Lee from Texas, who worked so hard to see this day. The landmark moment in American history today, President Biden making Juneteenth a new federal holiday. June 19, 1865.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on a Thursday night. We are just back from Geneva, the summit with President Biden and Vladimir Putin, and tonight the major headline here. The battle for more than a decade by some Republicans to take down Obamacare. And tonight the major Supreme Court ruling, the conservative-leaning court now, upholding Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, for a third time. This was a 7-2 decision, and it brings relief tonight for the 31 million who depend on it for their insurance, for the young people on their parents' coverage until they're 26, and the 54 million Americans with pre-existing conditions who are protected by the law. The justices ruling against Texas and 17 other Republican-led states that had sued, supported in their efforts by former President Trump. The ACA signed into law by President Obama 11 years ago, with then Vice President Biden by his side. Tonight, President Biden celebrating the ruling, saying, quote, it is time to move forward and keep building on this landmark law. So was this the last stand? Is Obamacare here to stay? ABC senior national correspondent Terry Moran has covered the Supreme Court for years, and he's at the court tonight.
For the third and likely final time, the Supreme Court upheld the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. But this time, it was a court packed with conservatives that did it. By a vote of 7-2, the justices ruling that the plaintiffs, who had objected to the individual mandate that most Americans must have insurance, had not suffered any injury that would give them standing to sue, because there is no longer any penalty for not having insurance. The liberals on the court, joined by four conservative justices, including Chief Justice John Roberts and Trump appointees Justices Brett Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett, declaring, they have failed to show that they have standing to attack as unconstitutional the act's minimum essential coverage provision. Justice Samuel Alito, clearly frustrated by another failure to overturn the ACA, almost sneering in dissent. Fans of judicial inventiveness will applaud once again. 31 million people are insured under the ACA. That's an all-time high. And 54 million with pre-existing conditions have come to rely on its protections. Among them, Christine Callahan of Cleveland, a small business owner, a Republican, and mom of two, including 13-year-old Andrew, who has a genetic condition.
Just a relief that we will never hit a point where we can't insure him. Out-of-pocket cost of his seizure meds is over $3,000 a month.
The ACA, Barack Obama's signature achievement. Joe Biden at his side, celebrating with a bit of profanity caught on a hot mic. Today, now President Biden celebrating in the same vein, tweeting, "It remains, as ever, a BFD, and it's here to stay." Republicans fought for more than a decade to kill the ACA.
That begins with immediately repealing and replacing the disaster known as Obamacare. And it's going to be so easy.
Turned out it wasn't. The court blocked them. They failed in Congress, too. And Americans grew to like it, polls show. So now it seems to have fallen off their radar.
The Affordable Care Act gets constantly woven deeper and deeper into the system. It's eventually going to be pretty hard to unravel from the system.
The word from a leading Republican tonight, but let's get right to Terry Moran at the Supreme Court. Because, Terry, I know there was another major decision today when it comes to gay couples as foster parents. The court ruling that Philadelphia could not end a contract with a Catholic foster care agency that has refused to work with gay couples. And, Terry, notably, this was a unanimous decision, the court's liberals and conservatives voting together on this.
That's right. It was a surprise, David. And the liberals joining the conservatives because the court held that Philadelphia failed to provide a compelling reason for cutting off Catholic social services. Both these cases today reveal a court where many of the justices seem to be looking for ways to come together if they can, stick to the fine points of the law and stay out of politics. David?
Terry Moran leading us off tonight at the Supreme Court. Terry, thank you. Now to the coronavirus in this country and to the new warnings about the Delta variant now seen in at least 41 states, highly transmissible. And of course, the question now, could it become the dominant strain here in this country? Also, the emergency meeting tomorrow after some 300 cases of a heart condition in young people, myocarditis. They've been vaccinated. It's a very small number out of the millions vaccinated, but what you need to know on both that and this fast-moving variant. Dr. Jha is standing by to answer your questions. And tonight, here are the numbers. 175 million people have had at least one dose of the vaccine now. That's about 62% of everyone 12 years and older in this country. Here's ABC's Stephanie Ramos.
Tonight, with the highly contagious Delta variant now confirmed in 41 states, a blunt warning from the White House COVID team.
If you're fully vaccinated, you're protected. But if you're unvaccinated, you're at risk of getting seriously ill or spreading the disease to others.
Experts warn the Delta variant is spreading fast and could soon become the dominant strain. Across the South, where vaccination rates are lowest, health officials are sounding the alarm.
If this thing gets uncorked, you're looking at transmission levels we've never seen.
It comes as a CDC advisory panel gets ready to hold an emergency meeting tomorrow on about 300 reports of heart inflammation, myocarditis, among the 20 million adolescents and young adults who have been vaccinated. 16-year-old Noah Hyers in Alabama was vomiting with flu-like symptoms after his second Pfizer shot.
2 days after my vaccine that night, I had cleared up and I felt fine, no symptoms at all. I went to sleep that night and I woke up at 2 a.m. with chest pain.
He says that pain went away the next morning, but he was hospitalized. Noah's doctors think the second vaccine dose might have caused temporary heart inflammation.
There's a lot more risk in having COVID. There's a lot more long-term risk. And as far as we know, there is zero long-term effects from this. So 100% would still get the vaccine.
So let's get to Stephanie Ramos with us tonight from Hackensack Hospital in New Jersey, where researchers are actively tracking that Delta variant. And Stephanie, I know there's also news tonight. The Biden administration today announcing a big investment in potential antiviral treatment for COVID going forward.
Right, David. The Department of Health and Human Services says the government will invest more than $3 billion to develop and manufacture antiviral pills to treat COVID. They can be taken at home early on in infection to prevent serious illness, much like antivirals taken now for the flu. The government says its goal is to have this treatment available within a year. David.
Would be encouraging as well moving forward. Steph, thank you. With U.S. authorities now focused on that Delta variant found in 41 states, as Stephanie reported, spreading quickly. and that emergency meeting tomorrow on the troubling heart condition in about 300 young people who've been vaccinated in this country. Of course, a small number out of millions, but it is still a concern. So let's bring in Dr. Ashish Jha, Dean of the Brown University School of Public Health. Dr. Jha, always great to have you. First, let's tackle the Delta variant. You and I have talked about it at length here, what we're seeing now. Do you think it could become the dominant strain? We know it's highly transmissible. What are you seeing right now?
Yeah, so David, thanks for having me back. This is the most contagious variant we have seen throughout the entire pandemic. And I expect it to be the dominant variant in the United States, the dominant source of infection, probably sometime late July into early August. So it is definitely something to be concerned about.
You remain most concerned about those who are not vaccinated with this?
Absolutely. The good news, the remarkable news, is people who are fully vaccinated, both doses of Moderna, Pfizer, or their J&J shot, will do very well against this variant. But people who are either partially vaccinated or unvaccinated, they're really at substantial risk.
And real quick, before we let you go, this emergency meeting tomorrow on this heart condition seen in a small number of young people, 300 out of millions. It's still unsettling, obviously, for parents getting their children vaccinated. Are you concerned about this? And what should parents and young people know?
Yeah, so I, you know, anytime there's an adverse event, I'm always concerned. I want to see what the data shows. Again, as you said, it's a small number. Most of these young people got better without any treatment. That's reassuring. I've gotten my kids vaccinated because the risk of COVID is so much greater. But we've got to look at the data here and see what the expert report comes out tomorrow.
All right, we'll track it right here with you. Dr. Jha, thanks to you again tonight. We turn now to the historic heat wave, not just in the West tonight, right in the middle of this country. Excessive heat advisories in effect at this hour across 10 states from California to Iowa. Here's our chief national correspondent, Matt Guppin, tonight.
Tonight, the dome of heat melting the West is expanding and shattering records as it spreads. Tens of millions of Americans sweltering temperatures above 100 degrees for multiple days. And it's still technically spring. Electrical grids strained to the max and the Dallas skyline darkened. Utility companies from Texas to California are begging people to set thermostats at 78 degrees and to brace for possible blackouts.
We are making sure we have enough crews on standby and we're ready in case we do experience those outages.
More people die from extreme heat than from any other type of extreme weather. In Maricopa County, Arizona, last year, a record 323 people died because of high temperatures. Doctors warning hot pavement, even sand, could bring third-degree burns. And experts say climate change is making heat waves more intense, more frequent, and longer lasting. It's also supercharging the mega drought that's drying up lakes and reservoirs that millions rely on for their water supply.
This time a year ago, this dock would have been about 30 feet underwater. It's now high and dry, and Folsom Lake has shrunk so much that to get to water's edge, you've got to go a quarter mile in that direction.
Those low lake levels even making it possible to find the wreckage of a 1986 plane crash using sonar technology.
It could be 6 months before you get any measurable rain.
Yes.
What's that lake going to look like in December then?
I don't want to know. We'll probably just see a river with a small pool in front of the dam.
David, state officials here tell me that even their models fail to predict how significant this drought would be and how much reservoirs and lakes like the one behind me would shrink. One official telling me it wasn't even close. David.
Just extraordinary pictures. They really do tell the story. Matt, thank you. How long does this record-breaking heat last? And, of course, the tropical system that could now hit several states in the Gulf this weekend. Let's get right to senior meteorologist Rob Marciano again tonight. Hey, Rob.
Hi, David. No big cooling coming. We have more records today in Phoenix, 117, 120 in Palm Springs. Over 30 million Americans enduring triple-digit heat. Look at this map. It continues to be red. Now we've got it in the central part of the country, and this stays in these types of numbers at least through the weekend. All right, we may very well have our next tropical storm by this time tomorrow in the Gulf of Mexico. Tropical storm warnings are up from middle Louisiana all the way to the Florida border. We expect this thing to come on shore tomorrow night, likely staying a weak storm, but we'll watch it. It's going to have a lot of activity on the east side of it, lots of rain over saturated ground. We will see more flooding issues across the south, 6 to 12 inches of additional rain coming. David.
All right, we'll track it right here with you, Rob, right into the weekend. Thank you. And of course, last night here, we were in Geneva for President Biden, the summit with Vladimir Putin. Now our Martha Raddatz traveling to Iran tonight on the eve of the presidential election there. What's at stake when it comes to reviving any nuclear deal with Iran? As you know, Iran did come up in that summit in Geneva. And now Martha reporting from Tehran tonight.
David, the U.S. and Russia do agree that Iran should not have a nuclear weapon, and both countries are watching this election very carefully. It is almost a certainty that a hardline cleric named Raisi will be elected. He is a favorite of the Ayatollah. There were some enthusiastic rallies for him this week, but the majority of Iranians say they won't vote because moderate candidates were disqualified from the race. Now, Raisi does support the Iranian nuclear deal that President Biden is trying to revive. But if this hardliner is elected, it could make it more difficult to get a tougher and longer deal, which could slow everything down. David?
All right. Martha Raddatz reporting from inside Iran tonight. Martha, thank you. Back here at home tonight and the landmark moment in American history today. President Biden making Juneteenth a new federal holiday, marking the day the last African-American slaves were freed in Texas following the Civil War. And there was a moment today, the president kneeling before 94-year-old Opal Lee from Texas, who worked so hard to see this day. Here's ABC senior national correspondent Steve Osunsami tonight.
With the stroke of his pen today, President Biden signed into law a federal holiday for an event that many Americans had never even heard of until a few years ago.
This is a day of profound, in my view, profound weight and profound power.
Freedom Day for American slaves, Juneteenth. And it was almost 156 years ago to the day when federal troops moved into Galveston, Texas, setting free the last remaining slaves in America who had no idea that they had been freed years before.
We are gathered here in a house built by enslaved people. We are footsteps away from where President Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation.
The first black vice president was holding the hand of the 94-year-old black woman who made this happen, Miss Opal Lee. President Biden thanked her today. She's marched for years trying to make Juneteenth a holiday.
I'm really a little old lady in tennis shoes getting in everybody else's business.
There are many who feel it's no accident that this is happening after the street protests following the murder of George Floyd and the growing conversations over race in this country. And the president today is saying there is still work to do.
We see this assault from restrictive laws, threats of intimidation, voter purges, and more. An assault that offends the very democracy, our very democracy.
Across this nation, 16 states have recently passed new voting laws that many feel are meant to suppress the black vote. Nearly 400 similar laws have been introduced in state houses nationwide.
Even lawmakers who fought against legislation focused on racial equality came out in support of this holiday. This year, Juneteenth falls on a Saturday, but the federal government says that it is set to recognize this holiday for most federal workers tomorrow. David.
Historic day. Steve, thank you. And tomorrow night here in ABC News, Soul of a Nation special. Juneteenth, Together We Triumph, including Michael Strahan's interview with former President Barack Obama. That's tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here. And when we come back here tonight, news this evening about the armed couple who waved their guns at protesters outside their home. That couple now pleading guilty and remembering tonight an actor from a very popular sitcom.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tonight, news about the armed couple in St. Louis who made national headlines after waving their guns at protesters. Tonight, Mark and Patricia McCloskey pleading guilty to misdemeanor charges. The couple seen waving an AR-15 and a handgun at protesters going by their home. Both receiving fines. The weapons used will be surrendered and destroyed. Tonight, actor and director Frank Bonner has died, best known for his role as sales manager Herb Tarlick in WKRP in Cincinnati. Fans tonight remembering his humor and trademark plaid. Bonner was 79. Finally tonight here, Made in America for Dad. Tonight, our Made in America is back and just in time for Father's Day. From Portland, Oregon tonight, Leatherman Tools. The multi-tools that can do, well, practically anything. Cut, slice, saw, they are a pair of pliers, a screwdriver, even a ruler. Co-founded in 1983 by Tim Leatherman, still on the factory floor.
We became very proud that we're doing our manufacturing here in Portland, Oregon. And the thing I became most proud of was the jobs created.
550 workers, 10,000 tools a day. The steel from Ohio and New York. And in Rockford, Illinois tonight, hammers from Estwing Manufacturing. Family run for five generations, 280 workers, 5 million tools a year. And every one of them stamped with Estwing USA.
Hi, David.
Mark Youngren, president and COO.
We use all American-made steel. We're not going to go anywhere.
And if you're hungry in Kansas City, Kansas tonight, the barbecue sauce from the restaurant Q39.
Hi, David.
Owner, Chef Rob McGee.
My sauces that are locally made here in Kansas City.
And just listen to the assortment of his championship-winning sauces and rubs.
I have zesty, honey, classic, and assorted rubs that you put on your barbecue and you become a champion just like me.
While back in Portland tonight, the team at Leatherman finishing just in time for Father's Day with three words in mind.
Made in America! Woo!
We love Made in America and, of course, our dads. We'll see you tomorrow. Good night.